Don't worry, I'll make it snappy. Hey, right now, our spring match giving campaign, no retreat. We have every intention of standing firm, proclaiming the gospel more loudly than ever to more people than ever. It's a match giving campaign. If and you are not yet a gospel partner, this would be a really good time, and it would really help us advance our proclamation of the gospel. The campaign is called No Retreat. It is a match and gift campaign, and you can participate at FortisInstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio, hoping you're prepared to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. That's right. Oh, the ratings on this. Huge. Which story is most disturbing? That's right. A slew, and I mean a slew, a veritable slew of stories. You have to determine which one is most disturbing. And you say, well, how can we do that when this is kind of a one-way communication affair? Well, don't you fret. We have a federal head just for you. His name, handsome Jimmy Hicks. Sir, are you prepared to play federal head and represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program as we play, what do we call it? Which one of these is most disgusting or something like that?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Really?
Yeah,
you're ready?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And what exactly did you do to prepare for this moment? Stretch? Was there any fasting involved?
No.
Prayer closet.
That's it.
You're just generally ready.
Look, I'm always ready to judge.
That's true. It is your spiritual gift. Mine too. I think a lot of us have this gift, frankly. It's kind of a gift I wish I didn't have. Because, you know, Jimmy, to resist the temptation when you're actually always right, it's just a burden.
It is.
It's a yoke. And sometimes it's heavy. Let's play which story is most disturbing. You ready? Oh, these are all so bad. Oh, I don't even. Okay, here we go. You're going to say, well, wait a second. Why is this particular story so bad? Well, it's bad because of the results of it. Are you familiar with the fellow named Paul Ehrlich? He was a doomsayer. He made predictions going back to his population bomb book. Oh, it was just all the rage because he was prophesying that the world is basically going to end if we don't deal with this climate change business. Well, he recently died at the age of 93, and people have taken a look at his predictions. He got everything wrong. Everything. Every single prediction. For instance, in the 70s and 80s, hundreds of millions of people will starve to death from mass famine. Didn't happen. We're doing better, by the way, when it comes to feeding the population explosion that we're seeing on the planet. Contrary to what the doomsdayers said, we've figured out a way to just make more food. Now, I'm not saying there aren't any issues to discuss with GMOs, but in fact, Jimmy, you would appreciate this. Watch kind of a farming document. It was, I guess it was more of a movie. It was Christopher Walken.
Oh, Christopher Walken. Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Walken?
Yeah.
Yeah, normally he's kind of known as, you know, kind of like a creepy character. Well, he was a farmer in Canada. And on his land, he was being accused by Monsanto of stealing their proprietary work when it came to GMOs. Well, what had happened is the other farmers had been using those seeds and the fertilizer, and it got blown into his land. He would collect the seeds and he would use the ones that produced the most. Well, it turns out they did produce the most. And so they tried to sue him and shut him down for using their trademarked work, their patented work. Well, he was ignorant in that he had done it. Nevertheless, it went to court over GMOs and the fertilizer that gets used. And it's worth watching because it is an important conversation. There is a tension here. How do you feed this many people? Because if you look at crop production, courtesy of GMOs and pesticides, you just can't argue it. We can make more food. On the other hand, all those chemicals we're putting into our body and all the gut issues that seem to be proliferating, it's a good conversation starter on those issues. Well, if you were Paul Ehrlich, you would think everybody was going to starve. It turns out human beings, with their ingenuity, found a way to actually feed people. He claimed the U.S. population in 1999 would be about 22 million because there was going to be a great die-off. How's about in 1970? The Earth was on the verge of a catastrophic marine mortality event, stating, in 10 years, all important animal life in the sea will be extinct. Jimmy, you've been on a cruise.
A couple, yeah.
Yeah, all the animal life in the sea extinct?
No.
Large areas of coastline will have to be evacuated because of the stench of dead fish, he said. Now, okay, I was going to make a New Jersey joke, but that would not be very polite to do that. That ain't happening. There are some coastlines, I grant you, but it ain't from a bunch of dead fish. In 1969, he placed a high probability on the likelihood that England would not exist by the year 2000. Well, I don't think that I... No, I actually was in England in the 2000s. That's when Ray Comfort took us on that death march through Europe, where we had to do like a gazillion cities in 6 days or something very Ray Comfort-like. I went not only to London. What is the name of the town? Pilgrim's Progress. John Milton. Where he was in jail. And his little daughter, I think her name was Susie. She would bring the shoelaces that the kids and mom... No, he would make the shoelaces. She would bring them back to the mom and to the kids so they could sell them to buy food, which then they would make, and little Susie would bring it to dad in the prison, who would then give her the shoelaces. Are you looking it up? Please help me from this nightmare that I'm stuck in. It was a really groovy little town. England is still there. That's the point. Ehrlich said, if current trends continue, by the year 2000, the UK will simply be a small group of impoverished islands inhabited by some 70 million hungry people, of little or no concern to the other 5 to 7 billion inhabitants of a sick world. Well, which is it, dude? His numbers were all over the place, talking about mass extinction. We could lose all of Florida. What? Now, see, Florida, I could understand that happening because it's so flat. It would take about a teaspoon of extra water in the ocean to just wash over the entire state. I'm telling you, tables wish they were as flat as Florida, but it's still there. Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, it's all going to be gone. He convinced millions of Westerners not to have kids. That is what makes this story so disturbing. This is from Not the Bee. They shared a quote from the Wall Street Journal Opinion, quote, from one individual reading about Ehrlich's death. I was a college student when I read Mr. Ehrlich's The Population Bomb. I took it to heart and now have no grandchildren. But 50 years later, the population has increased to 8 billion without dire consequences. I was gullible and stupid. This was a guy from Woodbury, Minnesota. That's what makes this story so disturbing. Bad policies have bad impact. Bad worldviews have bad results. When people forward these horrible ideas without any real, genuine science to support them, it hurts people. And we're seeing that today. In Western civilization, we aren't making babies. Now, is this the only cause? No, it certainly isn't. I think there's a lot of other causes that contribute, but this one isn't small. How do I know? Because I've talked to enough young people who have literally said, don't think we should be having kids, you know, with the climate change and everything. It's real. Jimmy, what was it? Bedford? No. Man, what was the name of the town?
The only thing that I'm finding is London. I have.
No.
Yeah, that's all that's telling me.
You got a bad AI machine.
I think so.
Where was he imprisoned in Great Britain?
Marlow?
No.
Or Manchester?
No.
No,
not right. What good is AI if it can't tell us something this simple? It could be Bedford.
Okay.
Try Bedford.
All right.
Mm. Were you even paying attention to story number one?
I was.
Story number two, it's a brief one. See what book of the Bible comes to mind when you hear this one. Florida teen admits to murdering a sex offender, cutting him up, and putting remains in a suitcase. You say, that's really disturbing. I don't think it's something that is a pandemic, but it could be. In that, when you read the book of Judges, this is the culminating act in the book of Judges. Because if you recall the cycle in the book of Judges, the people would be naughty. God would send trouble to them. What would they do? They'd cry out. God would send a judge. They'd repent and oops, they'd forget. And round the cycle went, culminating ultimately with the killing of a concubine, and then the individuals in the town responded by saying, the best thing that we can do with the body of the concubine is to cut her in pieces and send her off to the other 11 tribes in Israel to get them to deal with the people who killed this concubine. And you go, that's just nuts. And that is what happens when every man is a judge. They do what is right in their own eyes without some sort of internal restraint system in America. I'm not saying we're going to see a lot of people getting cut up and put in suitcases, but I am saying behavior won't get better. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Seriously, I mean it. Thank you so much for being a part of what we do here at Fortis Institute. There is a reality about all of this, and that's that producing daily radio like Wretched takes resources. And the reason that we are able to continue doing this is because of our gospel partners. And so if our ministry has ever been a source of encouragement for you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can get all of the answers to all of the questions that you likely have at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org. No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. The church has been quietly backing up for years. Fortis Institute is determined to push the other direction, to encourage churches to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rightly and loudly. That's why we're inviting you to join us on the No Retreat Spring Match campaign. Right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give is matched, dollar for dollar. You can find out more right now at FortisInstitute.org/donate.
Important dates in Christian history. 1206. Francis of Assisi renounces wealth and goes on to lead a band of poor friars preaching the simple life. The 13th century saw the rise of a number of monastic orders dedicated to simple living and social engagement. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Cuthbert Street, to be exact. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, your AI machine is kafritz, man. I just typed it into my little Google system here. Bedford. He lived in Bedford.
Okay.
On Cuthbert Street.
Oh, you got his address. Wow.
I was at his house.
You have a powerful AI.
It was actually a museum. I'm sorry for sharing. This might be a part of You Be the Judge, a disgusting story. We were there. We were filming kind of a tour of the different reformer sites, and we visited Bedford. Really, when you think like, oh, that's like a really one of them adorable British towns, that would be Bedford. Went out to the place where they say that was his home or it was a museum. And I was sitting on a fence and I was supposed to be talking about John Bunyan. And some birds flew over that had apparently that very morning, had been to a church blueberry pancake breakfast. And they strafed me right across my lap. Remember it vividly. Why? Because I had light-colored pants on. So what do? You just shoot from the waist up and you carry on because Ray Comfort was just relentless. Get to the next country. Get to the next town. You know how Ray is. Did I mention this is Wretched Radio? That would be disgusting story number three, but I don't think it compares to our others. Jimmy, story number one, Paul Ehrlich. When you don't have reality fixed in your mind, an understanding of how things work, and you don't submit yourself to God, your thinking gets increasingly out there, untethered. Paul Ehrlich predicting death and doom because of the climate. And what was the result? People didn't have babies. It is a contributing factor to the decreasing birth rate in Western civilization. I find that pretty disgusting. Here's another example. This is story number three for you, Jimmy.
Okay.
Well, actually, I'm not going to feel too sad because I'm not a Minneapolis boy. I'm a St. Paul boy. There's a big difference, don't you know? Although St. Paul, man, I'm telling you, what happened to St. Paul? Bad leadership. That's what happened. Cities crumble with bad leadership. People stop having babies from bad philosophies and worldviews. And how's about people are going to get more diseases in Minneapolis? Back in 1988, the city council decided no more bathhouses. That's right, up until 1988. Well, today's city council, of course, they've done got smarter, and so they are considering legalizing venues where adults can engage in those acts. And it's the reasoning behind it that just makes it, it's like, okay, well, this is just dumb on full display here. The Minneapolis Health Department and other public health organizations acknowledge this ordinance is no longer, it's the ordinance that forbids this type of behavior, no longer the tool needed to promote public health. That was the reason. In fact, in 1988, the individual on the city council, the first openly gay council member in Minneapolis in 1988, was one who pushed for the ban. Why? Because he had AIDS. And he wanted to make sure other people didn't, because he understood that's how the disease is transmitted from one to the other, to the other, to the other. It was a gay city councilman. But today we're smarter than that. And here it is. Social science research. Get ready for this. This is just woke in a disgusting manifestation. Social science research tells us that commercial sex spaces, Jimmy, commercial sex spaces.
Yeah.
They're not bathhouses. Commercial sex spaces. I can't even imagine how that functions or operates, or is it a brothel? They say like gay saunas are important for promoting safer sex practices. I guess that's the only place where safer sex can take place is in a sauna, enhancing HIV prevention. So in other words, my people, I'm so sorry for the any of these details. They're so sordid. They've got what I'm trying to say is about group activities at these places. That's what they will facilitate here. That's going to help the HIV rate go down, because that's what social science says. I wonder if Paul Ehrlich was on that committee before he did, because that's really good social science. And increasing access to testing and treatment. These spaces, not only that, here comes the wokeism, enhance feelings of identity, camaraderie, authenticity, and belonging, where people can overcome isolation and develop a sense of community and pride. Okay. See, we are so set on making sure that the individual feels good about him or herself. Even though we know better, even though we know that this is bad for people, we will say, we will actually facilitate it for you, because we are so myopic in our worldview in that we think that everything is about you, 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 you've got to be able to do what you want. Everything is about you. We'll let you participate in risky behavior. Not to mention what it does to the community around it, what it does to society, what it does for medical costs. All of these ideas trickle and roll downhill. That's inevitable. And a society that doesn't have a correct understanding of Imago Dei, it's more important that we do things for people that are better for them rather than letting them have their own way, because sometimes their own way is detrimental even to themselves. Jimmy, that's story number three.
Okay.
Minneapolis. Story number four. Also, actually kind of a little bit has to do with Minneapolis. A Finnish research, another study. There's been study after study. It says that transitioning kids does not help mental health. In fact, it makes it way worser. Gender-referred adolescents show high psychiatric morbidity. Gender differences and mental health trajectories after medical gender reassignment remain poorly understood. And yet, in Minneapolis, they want to fire them back up again. Here's the statistics. They're a little complicated, but this is a simplified version. Mental health among boys who were castrated and injected with estrogen rose from 10 to 60%. The next time somebody says to you, we've got to allow this for mental health reasons, 10 to 60% for boys. For girls who had similar acts done to them, went from 22 to 55%. Please note, other studies include suicide rates increase among minors after states allow them access to puberty blockers. Males who take cross-sex hormones like estrogen increase their risk of heart disease by 93%. 95% of women in their 20s taking cross-sex hormones, they develop pelvic floor dysfunction, which usually only happens to postmenopausal women. Suicide rates among men doubled after, well, a procedure that they do to them. Suicide risk increases 12 times for those receiving gender-affirming operations. Oxford study of 100,000 people showed that same-sex operations increased mental disorders. Europe is actually banning them. Minneapolis and America promoting them, and they want your tax dollars to pay for them. That's story number four. Here's story number five. Which one is the most disturbing?
Yes,
is that the
yeah? That's it.
All right, Jaden Ivey. Are you familiar with this guy? Made a personal video because the Bulls, the basketball team that he plays for, they were going to have a pride night.
The world can proclaim LGBTQ. They proclaim Pride Month and the NBA. They proclaim it. They show it to the world. They say, come join us for Pride, for Pride Month, to celebrate unrighteousness.
That was the word that got him in trouble right there. So they waved him. He's gone. By the way, video surfaced of this guy. He's out in the street doing some street preaching. I don't know if it's good or bad, but he's out there doing open air preaching, which is amazing. And so he lost his job because of that post. And then it was, I don't know why, that the Patriots head coach, Mike, is it Vrabel?
Yeah, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah. He said, well, you know, they got to get re-educated. I want people to have free speech, but they got to get re-educated. Well, it's one or the other, sir. So there's story number four. He calls it something disgusting. And so in a tolerant fashion, they can him. Jimmy, that's story number five.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
Which story is most disturbing?
Yeah. I'm going to wait till you.
Can you please make it snappy?
It's going to be story number three.
Number three. Minneapolis considers legalizing venues where adults can be frisky.
Yeah.
Bad worldviews, bad consequences. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.